Amen. I appreciate that song so much tonight, and I trust it's true in your life, and I'm so glad for the grace of God that has saved me, that has kept me, that has sanctified me, and He can do it in your heart tonight. I'm glad for that fact this evening. I so appreciate the testimonies tonight and just the presence of God, just how it's settled down in, and just good to be with God's people this evening. Amen. I ask for you to stand together, and we're going to turn in our Bibles just at the beginning portion to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12 is where we're going to be looking at this evening for our reading, and we'll begin at verse number 1. Genesis chapter 12, beginning at verse number 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will shew thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. Dear Heavenly Father, I just ask, O God, that you will come tonight in a mighty way. I ask that you will just help tonight, O God, as I share the words, the thoughts that you have given to me. I ask that you will anoint the preaching of the word tonight, O God. And I just ask that you'll help each and every one of us, not only to be listeners, O God, but to be doers of your word. In your name, amen. Amen. You may be seated this evening. Now, I have not talked much about myself throughout the duration of this youth revival, but tonight I will change that a little bit. I will discuss a little bit about myself personally. And the first thing that I like to bring up to a lot of new people is the fact that I really enjoy golfing tonight. I really enjoy going golfing out. I mentioned this to Pastor Ziegler tonight, and he said he had outlawed golfing here at his church, which was a little bit sad and disheartening, but he came back on that statement, so that was good. Now, I did learn Jonathan, he enjoys golfing as well, so it is encouraging to hear that there are some golfers out here. I didn't know how many there would be, to be honest. We're pretty far out here in the country, and golfing isn't that big of a sport, I thought. And even though I enjoy golfing, I would not classify myself as a very good golfer in the least. I enjoy it, but I'm not that great. And the fact of the matter is, when I see a body of water close to where my ball is or where I may be going, I get very concerned about this body of water. And there was another guy who had this same fear as me. And one day he went out golfing and he came up to tee the ball off, getting ready to hit. And between him and the hole, there was a large body of water, a large pond, and he thought the sensible thing to do was to use an old ball out of his bag, and I'm going to be honest, I thought the same thing before. And so he went, he grabbed his old ball, set it down, and as he was getting ready to hit the ball, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this voice rang out and said, use the new ball. The guy, he turned, he looked around, trying to figure out where in the world did that come from, but couldn't see anything. Figured, oh, whatever, try. So he grabbed a new ball, set it down, and got ready to hit it once again. And the voice, it rang out once more. It said, take some practice swings. Well, it sounded like some good advice. You know, it's important to get loosened up. And so the guy, he did. He took some practice swings. He got ready. He thought, this is it. I'm confident now. That voice, it don't know where it is, but it told me to do this. And as he was getting ready to step up and hit the ball, the voice had seen the practice swings and thought, this is not good. And rang out again, use the old ball. Stop. Use the old ball. Oh, my. And he almost lost a brand new ball. And even though that story is a funny story tonight, and it's certainly not true, sometimes, I'm going to be honest with you, I wish God spoke to me like that. I wish he would just say, Terry, stop. No, not that, not that. Or, yeah, go ahead. Continue to do that. Or go ahead with that next thing in our life. And so often, it feels like we're not sure, what are we supposed to do next? What is God's will for my life? And tonight, that's what I want to talk about. What is God's will? And we're going to look at this tonight. As young people, it sometimes feels, older people get faced with this as well, but it feels all of those important questions are scrunched down in a little bubble of time. You know, before high school is over, people already are coming up to you asking, so what do you want to be when you grow up? What are you going to do when you graduate? Do you have any plans? Are you thinking of going to Bible college? Are you thinking of starting a job? You know, has God led you in any way? And to be honest, when I was faced with those questions, it was always a little concerning because I really wasn't sure. I was like, I don't know. And it carries on. Even after high school, the next question is, so who do you think you're going to marry? Or who do you think you like? Or is there someone that has your eye? Or is God leading you in that way? And the questions go on. And we are often felt wondering, what's the answer to these questions? How am I truly to know what God wants me to do? It can feel confusing sometimes. And these are things not just for each and every one of us. But Abram, he was 75 years old tonight when God asked him an important question. And I think we can focus in on this tonight and it'll show us different things about God's will. The first question that I want to look at tonight is, what exactly is God's will? I think that's an excellent place to start tonight. And so many times I have found that God's will is the next step for us. When God, he spoke to Abram here, I'm going to refer to him as Abram or Abraham interchangeably. He said what Abraham was supposed to do. He said, get up and go and leave. He did not give Abraham the entire blueprint for his life. He told him some exciting things that were to happen later on, but he didn't tell him, all right, now Abraham, when you go to Canaan, I'm going to have you stop right here. And this is your home. You're going to know a couple people, and it will be perfect right there. No, God didn't tell Abraham that. God told Abraham, it's time to pack the bags. It's time to move. And if we were to look at the previous chapter, we can see that Terah, Abraham's father, had already moved his family out of Ur, and they were supposed to be heading to Canaan, but they stopped. They stopped in Haran, and there is where they dwelt for a while. But God, again, was faithful to Abraham. He said, Abraham, it's time to move. And while Abraham certainly didn't have all the steps, he knew that God had told him the next one. I can imagine some of the confusion, maybe those friends that they had gotten in Haran. Abraham went up and he was getting ready to leave and they could see him packing. They would ask him, so Abraham, where are you going? And he was like, well, I'm going to Canaan. That's where God told me to go. Who do you know in Canaan? Nobody. That's exciting, knowing nobody. And he was like, so what are you going to do in Canaan? What God tells me to do. It can feel a little nerve-wracking tonight. But Abraham, he listened to God. He knew what his next step was to be in his life. And so many times it's that same way in our lives. The next step. Paul, he also experienced this. In 1 Corinthians 16, 8 and 10, it says this, but I will tarry at Ephesus unto Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now if Timotheus comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. And here in 1 Corinthians, Paul is telling this church in Corinth that God, he had opened up a door for Paul, a ministry. And that's exactly where Paul felt like his next step was to be. He knew that he was to stay there and to work at that ministry. And that's exactly what God wants to do in our lives. He wants to take the time to shine the next step. Shine an open door. Maybe we don't see the door fully open already, but we can see a little crack, a little sliver where God may be leading our lives, where God may be guiding, and just a next step for a certain school, a certain job, whatever it may be. Now, God can certainly be faithful to tell you further on down the road what he may have for you. He very may well do that. But so many times I've seen it over and over again that God will give us exactly what we need to know of the next step in our lives. Well, if we can figure out, all right, so that may certainly be what God's will is. How can I know truly if it's God that's speaking to me tonight? And I think one of the first ways that we can know God's will is through our daily walk with Him. Deuteronomy 30 verse 14 says this, But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. And if we look at this verse, it's talking about the children of Israel to keeping the commandments of God. And when they kept His word nigh unto them, they knew that it was in their hearts, it was in their mouths. They looked at it, they studied it. They knew that they could do His word. And that's how we can do it. If we go day in and day out, keep on doing what God has shown us already. And that's why devotions are so vital and important to a spirit-led Christian. Having that time when we pause, when we give God a chance. And when we give God a chance to speak to us to make sure we are in the center of His will. And I think prayer, it flows right into that same avenue of devotions and that time with God. He will speak to us. And so many times it's the quiet, gentle voice of God. 1 Kings 19:11 through 13 illustrates this fact with Elijah and his encounter with God. It says this, and he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice." And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle, and he went out, and he stood at the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" Elijah had been scared. He had run away from the evil Queen Jezebel. And he had gone. He had hid in the cave. He didn't know what was going to happen to his life. And he was hiding there, not sure what to do. And that is where God met him. God didn't speak to Elijah when it was all noisy and about him. But he did certainly use it to get Elijah's attention. But he waited until it was calm. And he spoke with that still, small voice. The voice that God speaks to us with. And He can do it at any time in our lives. And that's why it's important. It can happen at home, at church, anywhere, truthfully. He might speak to us through the devotions we're having, through the sermon we have heard beforehand. God can move or speak in so many ways. And He may be leading and guiding your life right now. But we must be listening. Listening. He may use a big thing to get our attention. But so many times He'll speak. Just a quiet, quiet voice. We can also find God's will in His Word, the Bible. Psalms 119, 105 says this, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." God's Word has the power to light our path. And He can show us exactly where we are to go next. And I've heard story after story of how God has helped people that maybe were on the fence about something they weren't sure. Is this exactly what God wanted me to do? However, it was through their Bible reading that God clearly showed through a verse of Scripture His will to them. I remember reading a while back a magazine. It was a GBS magazine I was reading one time. And in it was a presidential with Rodney Loper. It was basically an interview. And they were talking to him and asking, you know, when he came to GBS, what was that confirmation? And he talked about the fact that as he was struggling, wasn't sure, should he leave Hope Sound or not to go to GBS and become the president? As he was praying, he came to a verse of Scripture. And it was there that God gave him the answer for what He wanted him to do. The Bible tonight is a living, breathing document. And it has the power to show each and every one of us what we need to see and what we need to hear tonight. And if someone's struggling with a commission of God, maybe it's to a foreign field, maybe it's to something else, it doesn't have to be something like that. I challenge you tonight. Read God's Word. Pray to God. Listen. See if God speaks to you. But even though someone may know what the will of God is tonight, and they may know how to find it, it's a third step that can be a completely different matter. The step of doing it. And in Genesis chapter 12, Abraham, he gave us some steps about when God spoke to him about leaving Haran and going to a far off country. The first step, and I've already mentioned it tonight, is that of listening. We must always have open and receptive hearts to God's voice, just like Abraham did. He heard God speak to him because he was listening, because he was attentive, he was careful. And if we aren't listening for his voice, we can sometimes miss that opportunity, the step that God wanted to show us, the step where he wanted us to go. And that's why it's vital that if God is speaking, we must be listening and do whatever we need to obey him and to do that step. We can become too busy sometimes and drown out his listening voice. When we become too busy to have our devotions, or maybe it's too busy to make it to a Sunday evening service or a Wednesday night service, it's like we're slowly closing our ears, per se, to what God may have for us to learn, what God may have for us in our lives. We must make sure that we are listening to God tonight. But the greatest step I find in doing God's will is that of total obedience in our lives. Verse number 4 of the chapter I read tonight says this: So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. He had the obedience necessary to follow God's will. When God spoke, Abraham listened, and Abraham obeyed. There's a story told of a man who worked out in the forest most every single day. And this man had a dog. And every day, the dog would go out with the man to his job. And as the man would go there, he would often tell his dog to stay by his lunchbox. And that day was no different. He went out to the clearing, set his lunchbox down, told the dog to stay and to guard it, and he went off into the forest to do some work. In a little while, though, there was a forest fire that started a little bit away from that clearing. And as the forest fire continued to rage on, it soon came to that clearing and ripped right through it. But that dog that had been told to stay never moved a muscle. He stood right where he was told, in perfect obedience to his master's word. Later, the dog owner said this: I always had to be careful what I told him to do, because I knew he would do it. Can God say that in our lives tonight? Total obedience. If God tells us to do it, are we willing to do it? Are we willing to show that obedience? We need to make sure that whatever God may lay his hand on in our lives, that we would be willing to give up. We can't expect to be in God's will tonight if we don't have total obedience to whatever he may ask us to do, whatever he may say and tell us to go. And that, my friends, tonight is the real way. The real way to keep in step with God for whatever he may have for you to do. I have found God's will so personable in my life, and truthfully, this sermon tonight is a part of my personal testimony. God saved me as a young age, and as I continued to grow up, I wanted to serve God. Throughout my life, there was ups and downs, but I pressed forward, and I wanted to serve God. I went to the Beavertown God's Missionary Church as a young man, and I was involved, and I helped wherever I could, and I thought that I would try to be a blessing. And I remember, on one occasion, Pastor Matt Malloy, my youth pastor at the time, we were out for breakfast one day before I graduated from high school, and he had a serious conversation. He said, Terry, is God calling you to preach? I thought, preach? No, not preach. And that was the furthest thing from my mind, to preach. And I was like, no, I haven't really thought about that, you know. But I was like, no, you know, I don't really feel that, you know, that God has called me to preach. And I'll be honest, I feel like I was in the center of God's will at that time. I had not felt God calling me to preach at that point. But I thought, you know, it would be good for me to do some Bible school. I lived quite close to Penview, and so I did some part-time classes while working a full-time job. And my first year went, and I thought, I'll just continue to work full-time. And so I did. I enjoyed my job. I enjoyed my coworkers, and I thought I had a really nice life. And as I continued on, I continued to try to be a blessing in the church. I'd help Pastor Matt wherever he would need me to do, and just carried on like normal. And it was one summer of 2017, at God's Missionary Youth Camp, which Pastor Ziegler has preached there before, And it's a closed camp. It's our my home youth camp. And I was one of the staff members, one of the assistant coaches. And Brother Aaron McCarty was preaching that youth camp. And as he was preaching, he came to a sermon one evening. And he talked about Araunah, the owner of the threshing floor, where the angel of death stopped during David's reign. And this, the illustration, the point that he brought out tonight was that this man wanted to give David all that he had for free. He wanted to give his ox and his equipment, his way to make a living, his future, his money, everything. And as I was sitting there in that service tonight, I can specifically remember God speaking to my heart and my life and said, Terry, if I asked you to give up your job, would you be willing? And I remember that point specifically as I sat there in my pew and I went forward and I prayed, God, I will be willing if this is what you want me to do. And as that, in that instant, when I said, God, yes, it was like that still small voice said, Terry, it's time to go back to Penview. It's time to study to preach. And it was that was a big step because it's certainly, yeah, it's, I find it easier to say yes at the altar, but then you got to get up and got to do something about it. You can't just say yes down here and then forget about it. So I had to put legs to the action of what God had spoken to me about. And I got up. I had to go talk to my boss. And I remember walking to my boss and I said, you know, listen, I've really enjoyed this, but I have to step down because this is what God has wanted me to do. God spoke to me so clearly. And you know what? God, he's been right there with me every single step of the way. Didn't always know what was going to happen next, but God, he's shown the light right when I needed to have it. He continued to guide and direct my heart. Just that, it was that fall that I started dating Jackie just at the end of the fall semester. And God, he continued to work in my heart. He had the steps already in motion. He knew what the big plan was. He just needed me to obey the next step that he had given me. And as soon as I did that, he continued to move in my life. And as he opened the door for us to go down to Chambersburg, he continued to show me, Terry, this is where I want you to be next. This is the next step for you. And God, he's been so real to me. He's always been clear and he's always been faithful to me to show me the next step when it maybe wasn't always so clear. I end with this story tonight. There was an old sailing vessel numerous years ago and had two different compasses on this vessel. Now, one of the compasses was right here by the helm of the ship, by the man who was steering it. And there was another compass that was way up high in the mast. And the guy that was steering would constantly be checking his compass like he was supposed to make sure he was on the right heading. And one day, there was a passenger that was curious. Why was there even a need for two compasses? Because you had to climb up the rigging and everything to get up there to look at the second one. And the captain replied this. He said, well, the compass that's right here down by the boat, it might get affected by the iron in the boat. It might not always have a true heading. It might be just a little bit off per se. So every once in a while, we climb up. We double check, we make sure that it's the right heading, that we're still going the right way. And tonight, we need to make sure, is our heading the heading that God wants us to do? Do we need to adjust our compass, our ship, per se, just a little bit? God said, hey, that step, that's over here, just a little bit further tonight. That's where I want you to go. And as we're standing here this evening, the fact of the matter is, God will still speak to you. God wants to have his will done in your life. And maybe someday, if we obey God's will, if we follow him fully, maybe we can end up on the wall of faith, just like Abraham did. Hebrews 11:8 says this, by faith, Abraham, when he was called out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. I challenge you tonight. Obey his voice. Listen for his voice. God wants to guide you. God wants to lead your life if you will let him tonight. Let's close with with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, you see each and every one here tonight, O God. You see the life that you want for each and every one of them, O God, and you see the plan for their life, O God. Help us to be attentive to your voice tonight, O God. Help us to be listening for your will in our lives in a way it may seem confusing, and maybe there's fog around us per se spiritually. It's just don't know what to do. We can trust you, O God. We can turn to you. We know that you will show us the next step, O God. You will guide and direct our hearts and lives. And I ask that you'll do that tonight, O God. You see people here that maybe are preachers, maybe are teachers, O God, maybe are missionaries, maybe are faithful lay people, O God. Things that are happening in their lives, and you want to give direction. You want to give guidance. You want to give answers that are definite and sure tonight, O God. And I just ask that you'll help us to be attentive to your voice this evening. In your name, amen and amen. You are dismissed tonight. Thank you.